Welcome to another edition of NetStruck Talks. I am your host, Sharon Lee, publicity strategist, founder of NetStruck PR, and Ladies of Third Thursday Business Network Group. And NetStruck Talks is a show that is all about delivering valuable insights about businesses and services, guided by my motto, tell me something that I don't know, so me and my audience can be a better consumer and professional. In each episode, I feature candid conversations with remarkable guests who not only impresses me with their achievements, but also inspires many with their life stories. And today, I have a special guest who deals with mental conditioning and how to look at life in a positive way, regardless of the situation. Stay tuned. Welcome, and it is Sharon Lee, your host today, and I am excited to have a special guest today, and all my guests are special, but Elliot Allen is a special guest because he's dealing with mental conditioning, the mindset, how, you know, we as people, entrepreneurs, how we deal with our mindset in different situations. And Elliot is a mental conditioning trainer. He works with a host of different people, organizations to help them think differently in a positive way. Welcome, Elliot. How are you?
I'm doing fabulous, Sharon. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much.
I am so glad to have you on here. Now, before we get into this, for those of you who are watching this on YouTube, you see Elliot is in a ring. And, you know, people are wondering, like, okay, why is he in a ring? Why is he in a boxing ring? There's a reason to Elliot's madness. And I don't want to say it's a bad madness, but it's a good madness. Elliot, before we get into the mental conditioning movement, talk to us about what really drove you to get to this point, to make you think like this.
Well, Sharon, I'm in my travels of life, you know, I've had two major careers, and both of those careers actually combined together have brought me to this point. My first career, fresh out of college, I was a computer engineer in New York City. Working on Wall Street, I frankly was in every major building, all those buildings that you see in the movies, Wall Street, the New York Stock Exchange, all of those buildings, I was there. And at that particular time, I was very young and naive to a certain extent, to where the companies that I were working for, they actually would send me into meetings that, frankly, I had no business being in there. But I was kind of the scapegoat to go into those meetings. But I learned a lot. I learned a lot about, first time using the word, mindset, the mindset of those corporate people. And for a young person like myself, you know, I really was like a sponge, taking it in and really learning about that. I had never seen that growing up before. So I learned a lot about it. I did that for 7 years, and then I transitioned into law enforcement. I'm skipping with a lot of stuff that's in between, but those are the extremes. I had a 19-year career, or finishing up a 20-year career in law enforcement. And obviously, in law enforcement, you have the total different spectrum of it, second time using the word, mindset. You see a different element of mindset. So you see a different level of what we suspect is success. What we suspect is life direction. But what I learned is that there's really not a whole lot different in there. Who we are as people is just how these two groups of people think. That's what put them where they are in their perspective lives. So sometimes, unfortunately, in the law enforcement, I'm dealing with people who are in a jail cell. And then in the corporate world, I'm dealing with people who's in you know, the law offices or in the corporate offices talking about big time dollars. So
wow,
the difference there really is no difference. It's just the difference in how they think, their mindset. And so that fascinated me, particularly when I got into law enforcement, because it was kind of sad to see people behind jail and falling on tough times. And then when I was the type of police officer that I would go into the jail cells and talk to them and trying to get their stories. And it disappointed me even more, because frankly, a lot of times they had just as much sense, and sometimes they had more knowledge than the people who were sitting in those corporate offices, but they just using that information and their mindset properly to be able to have clarification about where they're going, about clarification about what they want from their lives, great self-evaluation, and also great decision-making.
Yeah, no, that's important. You know, when you think about it in your different two spectrums of what you mentioned, you know, the corporate world and now, you know, law enforcement. And law enforcement is a whole different type of mindset that where you come across, like what you said, a lot of people that you've come across, they're in the jail cell. So their mindset is different. They may have a long rap sheet. You know, as you decided to start creating this business, mental conditioning movement, mm-hmm. how did you look to say that, okay, who is your immediate target audience? Like, who is it that you wanted to work with? Because you felt that this is the, you know, this is the target that I feel that really needs this type of mental conditioning, this mindset change, and to really bring in positivity in their lives.
So this is what I learned. I'm going to bring up a critical word here, and it's going to be very important anytime you hear me talk about mental conditioning. And that word is clarification. Being very clear about our life direction, that's really the target of what we go after. So, of course, if you're looking at the extreme of a person who's in their jail cell, what do we say about people? They don't lost their direction. Clarification. And believe it or not, sometimes people in the corporate world, they don't lost their way. Oftentimes, all of us, at certain points in our life, we sit back in that chair. You know what? I'm lost right now. Clarification about where we're trying to go. Those are the people that we focus on. Those are the people that come into my gym, as you see. I heard you talking about that in the opening. Those are the people that come into my gym and they train with me because they're looking for clarification in their lives. We all get lost. How do we find our way back? That's what mental condition is really all about. How do we find our way back when we get off the course? Clarification. We all at some point in our life are going to need that. But how do we do that? How do we structure that? What do those exercises mentally look like for us to have clarification when we are lost? Because we will all, no matter how much money you have, no matter how successful you are, no matter how low you are, no matter how lack of financial resources that you have, we all lose clarification. That's the battle against life that we go through each and every day. So those are the people that really, really are attracted. Those are the, as I like to call, fighters that come into my gym and I work with them, is those that have lost clarification in their lives.
It's funny you bring up, you know, the fighters that come into your gym. Your whole concept, and you're a big fighter, you're a big boxer, you know, fan, like you love boxing. Your whole concept of how you work with your clients and work with groups that you speak with is the mental conditioning of a boxer going into a ring. Can you make a clarity between, you know, a clarity between the two, that, you know, when a boxer goes in and how you are working with your clients?
So the one thing about mental conditioning, Sharon, and mental conditioning and physical conditioning are very, very similar. But for a physical trainer, when he's talking to clients, it's very easy to tell them what the end goal is. Because you tell them, you know what, the person may come into the gym and their belly is way out here, right? And so when you're talking to them, say, don't worry about it. When you come to the gym, we're going to get you, put you on a program. If you follow all the instructions in about 6-7 months, if you stick to this, you're going to see that belly start to shrink. You're going to see them arms start to come out of that sweatsuit. You're going to see them shoulders start. And that's what people get. Yeah, well, I'm going to look like that. And after 6 or 7 months, they will. There's a different challenge when you come to mindset training. Your head ain't going to get physically no bigger no matter how many times you come here and you talk to me. Right. So I have to find what is the way that I can really kind of make it more of a clear picture of what we're going to do in here. So for me, I'm a big boxing guy. And boxing, when you watch a boxing match, I think even if you're not a boxing fan, everybody at some point has watched a boxing match. That is such, to me, a profound battle of life that's very much very similar. In life, we take punches, just like a box in the ring. You get hit, you fall back in the corner, you get hurt. What do you do? I just gave you that word, clarification. When that fighter gets hit and he gets hurt, his clarification is gone. And life is the same way. So I found that using boxing analogies, and I had to really think about this, Sharon, because I said, well, everybody's not a boxing fan like me, but everybody in life is a fighter. So that's become something that we can all relate to, whether we fought our brother, whether we fought our sister, whether we just had fights with our friends in the street when we was younger. Everybody can relate to the fight of life. And that's what we do each and every day that we get up. It's a fight against life. So that's why I use that analogy to show people, you know what? You got to put your hands up and defend yourself against life, because life, I promise you, is going to try to hit you. It's going to try to knock you down. And the biggest thing is they're going to try to knock you down and out. There's a difference between going down and there's a difference between going out. We train mentally to make sure that when we get knocked down, and be clear, I said the word win, because you will get knocked down, but we train to be able to get back up, to put our hands back up, and to be able to deal with life mentally. The physical part is easy, but mentally you have to have that clarification of, I got knocked down, but I got up, and now I got to get my bearings about me and know, what is my goal? What is my direction? There's a million and two places we can go with that. We could talk about financial. We could talk about your personal relationships. We could talk about your career. And all of these things go into what we have to mentally put on our plate. That becomes cloudy. It's impossible for anybody to think that you constantly will have these things under control. So you must train for that. And we put together a program in the mental conditioning movement using our principles, using the definition of mental conditioning, to be able to use exercises to keep our mind sharp for that clarification that we need.
So you mentioned the exercises. You mentioned, and that's what I wanted to kind of get into. When someone walks into your gym and they say, you know what? I need assistance. I need help. I lost clarity. I'm having drama at my job. My business is not going well. I'm having issues in my relationship. Like, you deal with all these levels. What's the first thing that you would start working with someone on? And let's say, for instance, it's someone who is, someone who's in business and, you know, their business is not going the way that they want it to go. Like, how do you start off? Are there like, is there like a foundation that you start off with for folks to start working with you?
Yes. One of the things that we have up on the wall here in the gym is the four principles of mental conditioning. The four principles are the most important foundational infrastructure of the training. Those four principles that we follow is going to be self-evaluation, decision-making, big picture, and staying the course. You and I have been talking for probably about 10 minutes. You don't recognize it, but I mentioned those things probably about four times already. I just didn't tell you that, but everything is based off of that. To me, that's the formula for life and being mentally strong. If you understand, I have people write that down. I tell them, keep looking at it, because what I did, the first one that I told you was self-evaluation. That's so very critical. You just said somebody may come in here and say, you know, I'm really having trouble in my business. You have to first and foremost look at your self-evaluation. What's your role in that trouble that you're having? This is hard stuff. It's not easy. It's not an easy thing. You know, in the opening, I just want to make one clarification. In the opening, you talked about, you know, positive thinking. And that's one of the things that I tell people about the mental conditioning movement is that, and I want to slow this down and be very careful when I say this, we don't do positive thinking here. We don't do negative thinking here. We do reality-based thinking. That's clarity. Let's go out there and get one for the Gipper. I'm going to use another boxing analogy. If you're training somebody and the guy or your fighter gets hit, bam, and the round ends and they come back and they sit down, ooh, I'm not going to tell them, you're all right, no problem. It's a problem. You got hit, and right now you don't know who you are. I have to give you the instructions, and the instruction may be, when that bell rings, you go back out there, run, hold the guy. Do not go out there and do what we was doing from the first round, because you're in trouble. That's reality-based. Can I be positive? Like, everything's good. Everything's going fine. No, it's not. It's not going good right now. We're going to get it to where it's going to be good, but it's reality-based thinking. That self-evaluation that I want all of my fighters that come into here to understand, we got to first deal with the realities. Once you can have those realities about where you are, what's number two? I said decision-making. Now we can make the prudent decisions because we know exactly where we are in the fight against life. those are the two most important things. All four principles are equally important, but you see in the order how they go, why they're important. And those are the exercises, but it does begin with honest self-evaluation. You must have that. And it takes a lot of training. Sometimes we spend many sessions before we even move on to the next step. We spend many sessions in the gym just talking about self-evaluation and where you are, because those are very, 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 nobody wants to admit anything bad about themselves. And it's not that it's bad. It's just the reality. There's certain things that I'm unable to do. I have to have my wife make certain phone calls for me because I can't do it. That's just the reality of what makes the business grow and what we have to do.
Right, right. And it's so important. And I'm glad that you have those four principles that you apply, because it's important for them to self-evaluate themselves and really come to an understanding of what the problem is, because you can't correct anything until you understand what the problem is.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and I lead into, you're an author, your first book, in fact, I actually have it right here, Mental Conditioning, Life as a GPS. Life's GPS. When you wrote this book, and I want people to know about this, because, you know, Elliot has another book launching that's coming up in the next couple of weeks. But when you wrote this book, talk to us in terms of how, first of all, with the title, Life's a GPS, what do you mean by that?
Well, one of the most essential things that we have in our lives is funny. You know, we have certain inventions that were brought to us that we kind of figure, well, how do we make it without that? The microwave is one, and our GPS is another one that it just navigates our life. We put in the coordinates into our GPS system, and it takes us exactly where we want to go. Our mind is a GPS, but it's very important. It goes back to self-evaluation. You have to put the proper coordinates in your mind to know where you're going. We can't have direction if we don't know where we're going. That's the third principle, big picture. Many of us don't even know what our big picture is. And I'm not saying that to be or look down on people, because I was in the same position. You have to really train to know what's your big picture. That's the coordinates that you're going to be able to put into your mindset. But it goes along with the self-evaluation. Well, who am I? What is it that I really want to do? That's why the book is called Mental Conditioning Life GPS, because when you put the right coordinates in, just like a GPS, you're going to have detours, you're going to have problems. But what does that GPS do when the road is closed? Redirecting.
Reroute you, right?
Reroute you. Our mind is that powerful. It will always reroute you, but you must put in the correct coordinates. That's the most important piece, and you can only do that through proper and intense self-evaluation. It will get you to the destination, because you will have that stay in the course. You're going to get knocked off the course. There's going to be detours. But if it's the wrong coordinates, it's the wrong address, we're never, ever, ever going to get to that destination. So that's what GPS is really the foundation of, teaching you to be able to put the right coordinates in to get to your destination of life.
I want to ask you a personal question, Elliot. You know, with this, have you ever had to, you know, your life GPS, has it got knocked off guard or off track, and you had to literally figure out, okay, I need to get back on my coordinates? What did you, I know you applied yours, but if you want to share, you don't have to, but, you know, is there a moment that you want to share that you had to literally put your own principles in effect as for yourself?
First of all, that's the only reason why I can do this, is because I have that story. And it's funny, no one has ever asked me that question before, so I'm excited to be able to answer this question. I told you that I did 7 years as a computer engineer. Anybody who I work with, forgive me, I hated it. and yet I'm in my 19th year as in law enforcement. That's not, I can do it, and I'm pretty doggone good at my job, but that's not my passion. Those two extreme careers have led me to this. I can do this all night, Sharon. I can do this all night. I can have people in this gym at any time of the day. And it's funny you ask me that, because I remember having this thought of, what do I want to do that if somebody calls me at 2 o'clock in the morning, that I'm going to be like, I can't wait to get there. I could be asleep 3 o'clock in the morning. If somebody calls me and says, I need to come to the gym, I need some work, I'm going to get out and I'm going to be smiling and put on my uniform, my sweats here, and we're going to get to work. When I did computers, I used to do 24-hour coverage. And that was the worst phone call I ever got. 1 o'clock, somebody called me and said, the server at Chase Manhattan Bank went down. That's a prestigious thing to say. I'm in New York City and Wall Street went down and I have to go out there and fix it. But I'm going to be honest with you, I hated it. It was a stretch to get up like, oh my God, I got to get on the train. I don't want to do this. I'm a police officer, so I'm never off. I don't like having to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning because whatever's going on, we ain't going to hit it.
Right.
But if somebody calls me right now at 3 o'clock in the morning tonight and said they need me to come here and get to work, I'm doing that. So that's what I'm talking about when I say, like, yes, of course. And remember, we're talking about over close to 30 years of working that I was off the course. That's why I said that question really kind of made my heart stump a little bit. Because when you put the work in, you think about all these years, I ain't been on the course. But that's why I'm so excited to do this, because I found my course. So the young people out there that's listening, I'm giving some big numbers. That's 30 years of working. So, I mean, you guys is 18, 19, 20 years old. I've been working way longer than you've been living. But I'm just now coming into my big picture, and I feel great about it. So don't ever think that time is too late. You can always get back on the course. And I have a personal testimony to that, that I'm on this course and I'm attacking this course like nothing you've ever seen. I give it everything I got each and every day for this, because this is what I love to do. Thank you for that question, Sharon.
Absolutely, absolutely. So you talk about with this, and you know, it's a personal that you went through 30 years of this. And, you know, talking to the young people that's listening to this, that, you know, mental conditioning movement is for everyone. It's not just for those that are in corporate or those who have businesses. It's for students also. It's for our students, because the one thing I have to say, Elliot, and I'm glad that you're doing this type of work, COVID really changed a lot of people.
Yes.
COVID has changed the mindset of our college students. And, you know, and I teach, I'm a professor, and I have to admit, last semester was rough for a lot of students because they're still not getting the grasp of, one, you're doing classroom, you're doing schoolwork at home. You know, it's still, some of it is still remote, and it's still really hurting a lot of people. And those that are going in, they want to be home because they have families and they just don't know where to go. And for you to be here to say that you can come into a college and you can talk to these students and get their GPS on track, have them identify the right GPS that what they need to be on, I think it's fascinating. Mm-hmm. I had a college student that I had to literally call my chair and say, hey, this young lady is going through some real serious problems. What can we do to get her help? Mm-hmm. And the only thing she said is, we really don't have a lot. We're realizing a lot of our undergrad students are going through a lot of problems. But, you know, we can have her go into, you know, one of the college counseling programs. Mm-hmm. I keep in contact with that young lady. This was last semester. I keep in contact with that young lady. And I think this is something that colleges need to really understand and say to themselves, we need somebody like the mental conditioning movement in our curriculum, in our program, to help students mm-hmm. that are going through problems that are just have no clarity. They're going to school to go to school.
You hit it. You hit it. You hit it. Let me say about, you know, on COVID. I did a lot of workshops coming out of COVID. And what happened is, I'm sure you again how powerful self-evaluation is. And most, it's not a natural instinct for us to do self-evaluation. I tell people this when he asks me about mindset. Everybody knows, especially not, and I feel good about that. In this day and age, we live in a day and age where people are more conscious about their mindset. But very few people, Sharon, really understand what does it mean to be able to train your mind. And we don't want to do self-evaluation. It's not really natural to do an honest self-evaluation. But what happened when COVID unfortunately bombarded us and attacked us, and that's life. That was a hell of an opponent, was COVID. Yes. But it forced us, because now you're home and you're looking at the walls and you ain't letting it do. And guess what you have to do when you ain't got nothing to do? You got to think now. Now I got to evaluate myself. Sometimes, for a lot of us, not in my case, but for a lot of people, the jobs was on the line. I got to reevaluate myself. I lost my job. Now what do I do? What skills do I have? And that messed a lot of people up because now, ooh, you know what? I don't quite have the skill that I thought that I had. I was just kind of rolling along with life. Now you have to start that engine back up. And it was really hard for people because they didn't have the confidence now because I was sitting at home for a long time. I don't really know how to do this. I don't know how to evaluate myself, or I learned certain things about myself that I'm not happy with. But you have to adjust your decision-making. Maybe, just the question you asked me, maybe now it's time to adjust your big picture. Is that a scary thing? You better believe it. That's a very scary thing. I love talking to college kids who are going to college because that's a different level now. It's no longer, hey, your mommy and daddy, Aaron, Isaiah, did you do your own work? That's gone. Even the professors, that's one thing, and I loved it for me personally. The professor's not going to say, hey, Sharon, don't forget.
You did do your own work. Yeah.
Yes. Just if you do your own, you do it. If you don't do it, no one says, you're like, hey, Sharon, you didn't hand that homework assignment in. That's an adjustment now that you have to be able to have a big picture to say, I want to do this. So if you go to college and that's not really a big picture, you're gonna get knocked out. Easy work.
Love that analogy. I really and truly love that analogy because when freshmen go into college for the first time, leaving from high school into college, they're not really taught that. They're not taught that they're told it, but they're not prepared for it. And when they get into there, it's like, oh shoot, I got this free for all. Nobody's watching me. Oh my goodness, I can do X, Y, and Z. It's like, no, absolutely not. Like, there is a process and you got to get your mind right for that process.
Yes.
So, we definitely need to get the colleges to listen to this and start reaching out to you, Elliot, so you can at least be at that front line for when those freshmen come in for orientation and they get this orientation training with you. Because again, you want them to be successful to go through their 4-year career or their 2-year career in college. But how do we prepare them for that? And you do that, which is great. I want to shift a little because you have some good news in terms of you're actually doing workshops at a very monumental location.
Yes.
And I want to congratulate you on doing this because this fits into the concept of the boxing mentality where you are, what you model this off of, it's fighter's heaven. Talk to us a little bit about fighter's heaven and why this is so important to you and why this is going to be important to those who come to your workshops at fighter's heaven.
So fighter's heaven, ladies and gentlemen, is Muhammad Ali's personal camp that he built in 1972. And he trained for a lot of his major fights in that camp. If you go on YouTube and just look up Muhammad Ali training, a lot of the video that you see is actually from this camp. And my lovely wife, about right before COVID, actually, just as a surprise to me, she knows I'm such a avid Muhammad Ali fan. She took me to this camp. And Sharon, when I walked into this camp, it was overwhelming to me because Muhammad Ali is my favorite fighter, obviously because of what he done in the ring, but at the same time, it's the mental. I'm going to give you a quick quote. I'm going to get right back on track. But one of the quotes that I follow so much and I live my life by it is he says, there's only two kind of people in life. There's those that stand still and there's those that's willing to take a stand. But when you take a stand, you have to be willing to pay the price for it. I think that's such a powerful statement. If you really understand that I want to do this. You talk about the college because I want to do this, but you have to take that stand. So when I walked into that fighter's heaven with Muhammad Ali, I felt that. And it's a boxing ring, and it's an interesting place because it's his actual gym, and you can feel his mindset. He has his own living quarters where it's very meager. There's no TV. There's no real electricity in there. And he has a kitchen to where you can feel like he ate with all his team, all of his sparring partners, all of his trainers. He ate with them, but he has separate quarters from them. Even for his family, he had another little separate dwelling just for his family to stay at. They didn't stay in the same place with him. And then across the street, he had his mosque that he was able to go over there and pray. all of these things are physical, yes, but it's mental. And for me to be able to go up there and to do my workshops, I love doing my workshops here in my own mental conditioning gym, but to do it in Muhammad Ali, the original training gym, I just can't say enough about it. And we're going to be doing workshops up there starting in June. We're going to be doing a men's workshop up there to start it off for a men's month. Oh, my Lord, I can't say enough about it. The inspiration that I get, like I said, not just the physical. Obviously, when you go up there, you see, because the gym is still intact. Unbelievable. It's just unbelievable that it's actually still intact. They maintain that integrity of how it looked when he was actually there. But the mind, the mental part of it, each dwelling that you go into, each building that you go into represents something mentally. And this is why this guy was held to beat in the ring. He was good physically, but mentally he was tough.
Yeah, and by you modeling that and having the actual workshops, like to really put people in that actually mindset of Muhammad Ali, how he actually had to change his mindset and just stay focused, yeah. You're now bringing that whole illusion to your attendees when you're doing your workshop. So I'm really happy for you, and congratulations on this, on this opportunity that you have for yourself and to bring your attendees there. And for those of you who want to know more about it, or at least jump on Elliot's mailing list for when he has that, that's his email, his website, which is mentalconditioningmovement.com. Make sure that you guys go there, join his email list, get updated on his different events that he has going on, everything that what he has, you know, in terms of his books. He has a book launch that's coming up, and I want to talk about that, Elliot, because this is big. This is coming up soon. You have your new book that is being launched, which is 12 Rounds of Mental Conditioning, Us Versus Life, The Big Fight.
Yes.
Which your book launches on June 2nd at Gleason's Gym in Brooklyn. That's huge. That's yes, big, Elliot.
I'm very excited about that. Legendary Gleason's Gym in New York. A lot of legendary fighters have, you know, fought out of there. But once again, and I'm proud of it, and to be able to stay into the theme of, you know, boxing and just really understanding the analogies between boxing. As you can see, 12 rounds of mental conditioning. I'm super excited about that book. And Us Against Life. It's funny, you know, in this half an hour that you and I have been talking, you know, it just keeps coming up. That's the battle. That's the battle. And it manifests itself in different ways. We talked about for college students, you know, that transition of just going from a baby, you know, at home, now you have to become an adult. That's a fight. That's a fight.
Let's still want to go back to the baby stand.
Yeah, I was on TV, but unfortunately, guess what? Ding, ding, the bell rings. You go back
next round.
You got to go out there. You have to go out there and fight. COVID was a very tough fighter, and a lot of us got hit and got hurt. But you have to continue to fight. You cannot stop fighting. You have to continue to fight. And we go through that in 12 rounds of mental conditioning and understanding that this is a fight between us and life. And you have to be in condition, mental condition, mentally. Because let me tell you something, life is one hell of a fighter that it's really a tremendous challenge each and every day. And it, unlike, you know, us, life doesn't really age. And they always in shape, and they're always young, they're always fast, they always hit hard. So you have to be ready for that.
So this book that you have that's launching in June, what is it that folks can actually look forward to? Just talk to us a couple of, like, give us some names of the chapters. I want people to really understand how this is a guide for those who, one, if they can't work with you, this is one way that they can actually get help from you by getting this book.
So we go through, instead of using chapters, we use rounds. And we start off the book in round number one. In the first chapter, talks about deciding to get better. It's really another way of just talking about self-evaluation. In life, that is something that we sometimes take for granted, that we want to get better. But you have to really ask yourself, do I really want to get better? I'm using this theme because it's pretty hot. When we talk about a college student going to college, that school has something you want if you really want it. And you will be tested. And I'm not talking about with a pad and pen paper. I'm talking about a year. Because you have to be disciplined, like Sharon said. There's nobody telling you to get up. You can get up whenever you feel like it. So if class starts at 9 o'clock, there's no one that's going to tell you you need to be there. If I feel like sleeping at 12 o'clock to 12, you can do that. But that's deciding, do you want to get better? Because if you want to get better, you're going to get up at 7:30 and make sure that I'm prepared for class. This is an evaluation that we have to make in our lives. And we talk about that in round number one. And then when we go to the end in round number 12, we talk about the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. We have so many ups and downs in our lives. And again, these are things that we take for granted. Do you accept victory? That chapter was really good for me because I'm not that good at that. Sometimes I, even in the mental conditioning movement, Sharon is ripping off things that I've accomplished. But I'm such a person that I'm just always on the go, always on the go. I don't take the time to say, wait a minute. We're going to be doing a workshop. Did you hear what I said? Did you see what Sharon said? At Muhammad Ali's training camp. That's something to celebrate. That's a victory. But sometimes I don't even accept that. That's wrong. I have to train on that to say, wait a second, accept that. And sometimes
it's important.
It's important to accept that. Some of us can do it. I struggle with that personally. So I always tell people, these are things that I'm trained on too. The agony of the, sometimes we don't accept you lost. Right. Does losing mean that the fight is over, that you can't get a rematch? No, but I have to make the adjustments because if you go into the next round acting like you didn't lose, that's again, I'm going to use a college analogy. If you fail a test, but you say, you know what? Don't worry about it. I'll still study the same way. Next time will be different. No. You lost because you failed that test. I have to do something different. That's the agony of defeat that you have to accept it to get better. If I don't do that, then guess what? I'm going to fail the next test again because I didn't do anything to change that. So you have to be able to accept the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. That's just two rounds. I gave you the first, last. There's a lot of
stuff. I love that. I love it. And you know, I remember you talking to me about you had a client that came in. She was taking a big major exam. She didn't do well on that exam. And when she came to you, she said she wants to pass it. You helped her adjust in how she studied. And she came back to you and passed it.
Yes.
And, you know, it's all about the training. And it's all about you can't do what you did before to get better results. You got to change it up. So I really am glad that you talked to me about that analogy and how you are talking to us in this interview about how adjusting your thought process, how adjusting to different rounds in life, because that's how we have to look at it.
Yes.
And, you know, again, I'm going to bring this up for those of you who are interested. Make sure that you go to Elliot's website, mentalconditioningmovement.com. Get on his email list. Don't forget, save the date, June 2nd, 2024 at Gleason's Gym. You want to get your invite to his book launch. He's going to be reading a couple of his excerpts of the book. And you definitely want to make sure that you get that up and running. We want to thank you, Elliot, for just being the person that you are.
Thank you.
We want to thank you for really just having the mindset of just talking to people and having them put things in place so they can be positive. Not a lot of people do this because it's whatever, you know, it's fluff, it's pomp and circumstance or whatever, but you're in that group where you care.
Yes,
and the reason why I say that is because of the background that you came from.
Yes,
you know, law enforcement is not easy. My background is law enforcement also. So we think differently in terms of how we want to help people and how we think. Yes. So I definitely want to say thank you for all of what you are doing. I look forward to working more with you and getting the word out about the mental conditioning movement, because this is what we need. And I want to focus on the college students, freshmen, high school seniors going into college freshman year. Like, that's a big, big mindset change. And we really want to push that. So I'm talking to a lot of my college professors, my presidents. I'm talking to the deans. I'm talking to the high school high school principals for your seniors. We want to get the mental conditioning movement on your schedule so we can help our young people succeed properly. Elliot, thank you again. I really appreciate it. We want to bring you back on so we can talk more about this, you know, the boxing analogy and the mindset. Thank you again, Elliot.
Thank you so much, Sharon. Thank you.
Okay, great.